Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Peter Welch, let's talk immigration reform. You know, the Speaker Boehner made it clear that he was for passing individual bills and trying to figure this thing out. I believe them, but it doesn't look like there's anything happening.
He's stonewalling.
Really?
In my view, it's appalling. Yes. You know, if you do polling, it's like 71% of Americans want comprehensive immigration reform. They know that there's a lot of issues about fairness. You know, some of these young children who were born here are legally entitled to be here, but they have to live in the shadows. And you can't blame them for something their parents may have done. We've got folks who have served us in the military that don't have legal status. And in fact, Mr. Boehner blocked an amendment by a Republican, incidentally, that said that if you were undocumented but you had served in the Army, illegal, but you were a child and wanted to serve in the military, you could. They blocked that, you know. And this is, by the way, really, really dumb for the economy. You know, this country needs these workers to be in the daylight, not having to operate in the shadows. And the Congressional Budget Office did an analysis about what would be the economic impact of comprehensive immigration reform, and they saw it as a huge benefit to the gross domestic product. So people support comprehensive reform. By the way, that's with enforcement of our laws. We're going to do that and tighten the border. There's never been more spent on trying to keep that border tight. But they want to have comprehensive reform, and there's growing support among some of the Republicans. But Mr. Boehner, seeing this as a political issue in some of his gerrymandered districts, and he's stonewalling it, he's not going to, quote, make his members vote on an issue that really needs attention by the Congress.
So it's the protection of the members against unpopular votes that is stopping it?
It is. I think that's right. I mean, you know, you put this vote on the, you put it on the floor, it's going to pass by a big, big margin.
Sure.
It's passed the Senate. We've got virtually every Democrat, I think we do have every Democrat, who said they will support that Senate bill. And I know there are a lot of Republicans who support comprehensive immigration reform. They've been working real hard.
So who does it hurt, Peter?
It's you know what? It doesn't hurt anybody except some politicians.
No, well, that's what I'm talking about. In other words, of the political class, you said that Boehner is protecting some of his members.
We've got a lot of gerrymandered districts
right.
in this Congress, which
that's right.
in my view is a huge problem to our democracy. And in some of these gerrymandered districts, the voters there would punish a representative who voted for immigration reform.
So let's assume they don't vote for it. You still got enough votes.
Well, that's right.
In the non-gerrymandered districts. So why will they let it? Won't they let it out so that you guys can vote on it? Let me follow this through. Trying to be logical about this, they want to protect the guys in those districts the gerrymandered districts who would have to vote one way or the other. They would lose votes. Is that the idea?
You know, you'd have to reach into the mind of Mr. Boehner, but it's pretty clear that, however, he's gotten to this conclusion. His conclusion is that it's going to hurt the Republican conference, the Republican members of the House, or some of them,
if he
allows a vote to happen. So exactly what his rationale is, I don't know. But that's clearly what his conclusion is. Because, you know, as Speaker, this is something that's really quite disappointing to me. One of the things he's always said, and I agree with this, is you've got to let the House work its will. And in a couple of times, he did that. Like, for instance, when we were shut down, he allowed his Republican conference to come up with every crackpot idea that led to shutdown. But he stopped when it got to actually having America default on paying its bills. He stood up to his conference and said, you know what, we're going to put the debt ceiling legislation on the floor. And it ended up that we avoided default with virtually every Democrat and a significant number, but a minority of Republicans.
So why doesn't he do that more
right
often?
Thing. Exactly. And that's the thing I don't know, because he's got a lot of practical experience as a real legislator. And that notion of letting the House work its will, I think, makes a lot of sense. Where are the Where's the majority lie? He did it with the debt ceiling and averted default. He did it with a budget that two-thirds of his conference was against, but it was the compromise that was worked out between Mr. Ryan and Senator Murray. And he did the right thing in those two cases. But he is not doing it just as a general proposition, and that's obviously politically motivated. But I think the Congress and the country would be much better off if he put these things on the floor and let the chips fall where they may.
I want to talk to you for a moment here, while we have some time, about the decommissioning of the nuclear plant, Vermont Yankee. What can you tell us about that?
Well, an issue of urgent concern to Vermont, and of course to America, because there are other plants in similar situations. And the way it stands right now is that when you have this plant, the decommissioning has to include, what do we do with all this nuclear waste?
Yep.
You know,
and what do we do with it while we're on the phone?
There's no plan for it right now.
I mean, every time somebody comes up with an idea, well, we'll bring it here, we'll bring it there. People say, oh no, we don't want it in our state, that kind of thing. What do you do with it?
Well, what is a practical matter, the failure to come up with a long-term storage site has meant, on a practical level, that the storage site is at the plants, the local plants, and that's not a sustainable situation. We just cannot have that radioactive waste on the banks of the Connecticut River indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I'm advocating, along with Senator Sanders, is that in the decommissioning plans that have to be now presented, you know, Entergy's got to come up with a plan. It's got to be reviewed by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. In the past, that's always been a done deal between the nuclear facility and the NRC. And what we're advocating in legislation is, hey, let the states have a seat at the table so that when the plan is being proposed, not just the state of Vermont, where the plant is located, but the ones within a 50-mile radius, and that would obviously include Massachusetts, in a zone where they could clearly be affected, that they be allowed to participate in the discussion, in the debate, in the development of this plan.
Well, wouldn't that lead to even more gridlock?
You know, I don't think I think it would lead to a better result. I mean, the fact is that you've got the elected legislatures of those states. Obviously, they've got a dedication to making certain that the health and safety of their citizens is well looked after in a decommissioning plan. So, the notion that people who are affected can't be represented, that's alien to me. So I really do think the NRC's got to give a seat at the table to those states that are in the zone.
But in the end, there really is no solution on the table right now that looks good to anyone. I mean,
that's right. We have the Secretary of Energy in Vermont, Mr. Moniz, and he's trying to develop some way of having temporary storage sites that would get the nuclear waste out of the local reactors, even if it was, quote, temporarily put somewhere else. And in fact, there's legislation in the Senate, some bipartisan legislation in the U.S. Senate, that would move towards that. And it's a process where it would be a consent-based process where if you're a community that was willing to take that, you know, obviously that wouldn't be in Vermont, you'd be able to bid on it and
get some money for doing it.
Yeah, that's essentially right. So he's aware of this situation, but the ability to get, like, Yucca Mountain obviously runs into incredible political complications.
Sure. Well, Peter Welch, we truly love having you on the show. And it's great when your turn comes, because we always look forward to it, and because you make so much sense and you don't try to buffer over tough issues, because these are tough issues.
Yeah,
no question.
Well, they are. And I so enjoy being on your program, Alan. It's really tremendous.
Well,
I look forward to it all the time.
Well, we love having you. Thanks again, Peter. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, great. Thank you.